transmission cost adjustment rate. It is 1:05 p.m. on Wednesday, February 13th. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotius, joined by Commissioner Randy Christman. This is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of opportunity or a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first in this type of proceeding, but before starting, I would like our staff to introduce themselves for the record, and then we can go around the table for any other introductions by representatives of the company. But before I do that, Commissioner Christman, do you have any opening comments?
I do not have opening comments. Are you going to take them in numerical orders, 379 first? And
yeah, we're starting with 379, okay. 380, 381.
That's it.
Jerry Leon with staff.
Victor Shook with staff.
Good afternoon. Carl Liebitz with MD Resources Group, Inc.
Garrett Sanger with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Travis Jacobson with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Stephanie Bosch with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Okay, and then will either any of the three of you be making any comments? Okay, then we are good to go. The mic says they're set up. I think you've been through the drill before. They're a little bit better than the old mic, so they'll pick up from where they're currently sitting. And you can dive into the slides.
Okay, well, good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity. I will briefly introduce each docket, and then I think Travis will do most of the heavy lifting here today. But on the docket PU18379, the transmission cost adjustment rate 59, Montana Dakota did file its annual update on this on November 1st of 2019. The filing requests $8,595,813. To be collected, which reflects a projected 2019 revenue requirement and a true-up of actual costs and revenues through September of 2018. That I'll turn it over to Travis.
Thanks. And pursuant to the settlement in the docket,
PU-18-89,
the excess non-plant deferreds were reduced. Were used to reduce the under-collected balance in this rider of $1.1 million. In this particular filing, there were tariff provisions were included to update the special rates contracts and to remove the November 1st filing date from the tariff language. These edits were actually submitted November 20, 2018. Moving on to the next slide. The transmission cost adjustment rider includes charges and revenues or credits received for the transmission-related services provided through both MISO and SPP. Carl mentioned the total costs of $8.6 million, and that includes the remaining under-recovered balance of just under $400,000. This represents a decrease of approximately 10.4% from current rates. And the current rates were implemented shortly after we filed in February and reflected the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. The residential customer using 894 kWh per month would see a decrease of $8.28 annually with these proposed rates. In the past, we have had transmission assets included in the transmission tracker. As it stands today and as currently proposed, we do not currently have any assets included for recovery under the transmission cost adjustment. I would like to point out that there are a few projects that are currently being in the engineering phase or construction phase. And there's a Leola to Ellendale line, along with a substation, Watford City Loop line, as well as the Bowdell substation that's being rebuilt in South Dakota. And those projects are expected to be included in future filings.
Is the Leola to Ellendale line, is that that's a tie into the Big Stone? or Ellendale to Big Stone South, or is that different?
It is different than that. It does tie into that same substation, I believe. But it's not part of that Bessie project, the Big Stone South to Ellendale project. It's not part of that project. It's part of our integrated transmission network that serves North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana.
So it doesn't feed into, doesn't feed out of?
I'm not sure what the question is.
They're different. They're different projects from a cost standpoint, but they're connected into the same substation.
It's in the old Ellendale substation.
Oops.
Just refresh me, please. So assets like that in the past have been in the rider, but they've just been brought into rates in a rate case, correct?
Correct.
But the MISO and SPP charges, as they go up, do they stay in the rider, or do they get also shifted into rates at a rate case?
No, we recover 100% of the MISO and SPP charges, net of any revenue or credits that we receive, and that they are in the rider today, and they have been for some time, and they don't roll back into our base rates, if you will.
So when we did that, whatever case number your last, the big rate case was, the rider didn't disappear. We just took the assets out, moved that to base, and left the RTO charges in rider.
Correct.
That was 16,666.
Funny you remember that number. Frightening.
I did think there was a certain irony to that number being a rate case, but that was the first one. Did you have, Victor, you look like you're...
I just have a couple of things I thought were noteworthy in the the case. As Travis had stated, the settlement from our Tax Cuts and Jobs Act did help to reduce the revenue requirement for this case, which is it's always positive news. In my review, I did notice a change in the projected kilowatt hours for one of the classes. It's actually going down considerably. I asked the company about that, and I thought it was interesting. So the company's been working on an LED streetlight replacement project in a lot of the cities in the state, and we're starting to see the reduction in that usage because of it. So in last year's projected usage for the lighting class, they were projected to use about 27 million kilowatt hours, and it's down to 23 million for this coming year. So I just thought that was interesting to note that it's seemingly having impacts. So that's the reason also, if you look at the details of what's happening with the rider rates for the different classes, the lighting class is actually going up while the other classes are going down. So otherwise, I don't have any other concerns with this rider.
So conserving kilowatt hours is not a good thing?
Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it.
Just a thought. The rates go up.
Well, the rate is going up, but if you're using less of them,
for the city budget, something that was a welcome opportunity for them to save a little bit in their budgets.
On a percentage basis, what do they typically save moving to LED lighting?
They use a third, so they save 2/3.
And something else whenever we're done on LEDs. Anything else on that? Okay, I'm still having trouble following the line of progression with the numbers. So the costs that you seek to recover for the RTO costs are the $8.595 million, right?
Correct.
What is the $384,000? That's part of that.
It is part of it, and that is the remaining balance in that under-recovered balance. So if you remember coming out of that 16666 case, we had an amount, and right off the top of my head, I don't remember what it was, that we were under-recovered, and we proposed to collect that over 24 months. So that balance, we had been bringing that down, and then the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act provided another $1.1 million to reduce that under-recovered balance. So that is really just for prior period when we didn't, we had a certain amount of cost and a certain amount of revenue, and we expected to recover that. Either we didn't have the volumes to recover it or the costs were a little bit different. But so that was a balance that was yet remaining to be collected from prior periods.
So that was costs you incurred but weren't able to recover.
Correct.
Your real expected cost then is about $8.2 million, and then you add that in and you get to the $8.6
million. Correct.
But it currently is significantly more than that. For
it is. The primary driver in the rates as they stand today to what's been proposed, our MISO charges actually did go up a little bit, but the rider balance went down, or the unrecovered balance went down substantially, and that's really the driver. And then also the volumes, collecting those volumes, or collecting those dollars over more volumes from our last submission.
So last time the under-recovered amount was a lot higher.
I think the actual total revenue requirement versus the last filing is going up.
Yes.
So last year's, as I have it, the revenue requirement for the year was going to be about $7.5 million.
Yeah.
And this was $8.5 million, or 8.6 closer. But yes, the usage is projected to be higher, partially due to some special contract things that are happening, and partially just due to more customers and more usage.
So that's an interesting point. Then the actual revenue requirement for the RTOs is going up by $1.1 million. Is that just a trend you expect to see? Or is that the result of, is a big part of that's the result of some particular project that now will be done?
Darcy. Yeah, and Darcy, why don't you just state your name for the record, please?
This is Darcy Nigam with Montana Dakota Utilities. So part of the things I think we see in MISO, kind of the twofold effects. One is, at least, you know, certainly the Tax Cut and Job Act reduces the revenue requirements for others. But there's other projects, particularly with the multi-value projects, as those have become completed, at least there that goes into at least the rate that's a part of the MISO Schedule 26A. And so at least that build-out is becoming complete. So those costs associated with that are kind of plateauing out now as they've built out that portfolio of projects. And so, you know, anything in the future really depends what's the next round of projects that MISO may end up, you know, building, approving through their expansion project in the future. But right now there's really no big projects that are out there after the multi-value projects are complete at this time.
So you don't expect this level of increases?
I would
consistently
not.
Going I forward. Would
not. Thanks. How about, Darcy, as far as SPP charges, those seem to have been trending up. Is it significant, or I just know that that's always been a concern. When Basin joined SPP, there was a lot of concern about how much that's going to cost and if it's more cost-effective for you to consider moving to SPP.
That's correct. And I think that settlement, that whole process has worked very well and probably better than we anticipated, I would say. And so part of that, I think we've seen some of the costs, the Southwest Power Pool, you know, have gone up as other transmission-owning assets or members have come into at least this upper Missouri zone that we're taking service from. So before that, it was always just kind of Wappan Basin's transmission that qualified. Now when they go into Southwest Power Pool, the RTO, the voltage threshold is lowered from the 230 kV that WAPA always had to 69. So there's been a whole influx of basin's members, you know, particularly the Montreal-Williamsburg divides, the rest of those, that have started to put facilities under the tariff that has caused the rate to go up from what it originally was.
Sure.
And I think that's plateaued out as well. You know, the other one, Southwest Power Pool, would have had their build-out for highway-byway, and largely that's come to a completion as well. So all of those other regional projects that they had, I think, are kind of settling down too.
I think there are still some concerns with the kind of the seams and some projects that may be needed in our region. I guess I know I saw that they were going to do a study, MISO and SPP, to consider some projects along the seam. I don't know how many of those would be have some costs going to MDU, but
so at least what's proposed, and I know when they came out with the last, I think it's the IPSAC, it's one of the working groups, there were, I think, five or six potentially seams projects in this area they're looking at. Based upon what MISO is proposing for their interregional filing for cost allocation of those, I don't think we'd be allocated any of those costs if they would come. Because really those, that allocation deals with whoever those project touches because of the voltage they were looking at studying, because they're all below 200 kV.
Sure.
Any other questions from Commissioner Crisman?
I do not.
Jerry, do you want to weigh in with anything?
I'm good.
How about from the company? So the punchline then for consumers, $8.28 in terms of a decrease, which, although it rarely happens, works out to an even 69 cents per month. All right. I need to find my cheat sheet. Okay, the handout as well as the audio recording of this proceeding is now considered evidence. Is there any objection to this evidence becoming a part of the record upon which a decision will be made?
No objection.
No objection.
Is there anything else to add from the company or from staff? Okay, then the evidence as presented will now become a part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. And seeing no other matters for the record, this informal hearing is now closed.